On. How's everybody doing tonight? All right. Let's do some trivia. All right? Y'all like trivia? No? Especially trivia on Micah. It's not easy. So here's the first trivia question for tonight. What does Micah say he's full of in chapter 3? Verse 8, is he full of love, water, wisdom, or power? Anybody got any guesses? D. William, you got a guess? You just read it? You cheated, huh? All right. So, answer is power, D, yes. Number 2, what is Zion built up with? Is it A, love, B, mud, C, bloodshed, or D, gold? What do you think? Bloodshed, C, what do you think? D, let's see the answer. It's bloodshed. C. All right. Now, number 3 should be an easy one. What are sheaves? Bringing in the sheaves. Brands of clothing. B. Harvest grains bound together in a bundle. C. A type of animal native to Israel. Or D. Lawn ornaments commonly seen in Israel. What? B. And B is correct. That was easy trivia tonight. You know, I try to give you just 2 or 3 questions, but wasn't too bad. Real quickly, I've got a couple announcements that I want to make known. We have Operation Christmas Child boxes. I don't know if you've seen the nice little tree that Kelly made out in the foyer, but I told her tonight, I said, you know, your tree's going to have to go away because we're going to need those boxes to give to people. And she goes, aw. And I was like, well, I'm sorry, you know, we're just going to need those boxes. But anyway, there's boxes available out there if you would like to shop for a box this year. All boxes are due back November 15th, so be sure to get your box today and get started. Also, if you would like to host a big candy location for Halloween this year, you can see me. And then I have a sign I want to give you to post in your yard. And we'll give you the candy to hand out the week of. But we need to know all participants by October 18th. So you got 2 more Sundays. Not this Sunday, but the next Sunday will be when to know. So that's the announcements. I want to do a recap real quick just to kind of bring you up to where we were. We've covered 3 chapters of Micah in the 2 weeks that we've been doing this study. But this is a prophecy that's written by Micah between 740 to 710 BC. So you can see there's a 30-year span there that he was writing this prophecy to the people. In the first 3 chapters of Micah, he has prophesied about the coming destruction for Samaria and Judah. He has told the people why God was going to bring the destruction to them. He told the leaders about what was going to happen. He also told the false prophets that they would not hear from God again because they wouldn't tell the people the truth. And here's the main thought for tonight. God has an ultimate plan, and that is why he takes the responsibilities that he gives us so seriously. I mean, if you think about it, God's plan is very extensive would be a good word. It's a very long plan, you know. I mean, he's been working on his plan since the beginning of time, you know. And it's kind of like this is the third do-over he's given his people, if you want to think of it that way. You know, I think I talked about it last week with Noah. You know, he got to Noah and he said, these people make me sick, brought the flood. Started over with Noah. And then you go all the way throughout the rest of the Old Testament. Gets to the end of the Old Testament. And he just basically said, I'm done. He was silent for 400 years, didn't talk to him. And then Jesus come on the scene. And so now here we are. We're in the, if you want to call it a third do-over, with Jesus being that ultimate sacrifice. And we're just, who knows? We don't know how long this time will take. You know, each time's been about a 2,000-3,000 year period. And so here we are now. We are up to, now, and Jesus could come back anytime, and we don't know when, we don't know the day nor the hour. He just says to be watchful. But God has always had a plan. And if you think about it, God has always been pointing toward the end, right? I mean, you can read all throughout scriptures. What is he doing? He's constantly prophesying about the end is to come, be ready, be on the lookout. These are all things. All throughout the Bible, we see scripture pointing, we see prophecies pointing towards the end of days. And what we're going to read tonight in Micah is not any different. And, even in God's judgment, he's preparing us for something special. And that's something neat that we can look forward to. But tonight we're reading chapters 4 and 5. And I want to begin with verse 1 of chapter 4. And it says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. So Micah begins chapter 4 by telling of a time at the end of earthly history when God will rule over the entire world. And it's going to be a time of peace, time of goodness, happiness, but God will be honored and worshiped not only by a unified Israel, but also by all the nations of the world. Now, he says the mountain of the Lord's temple, or referring to Jerusalem here, is what he mentions here, it'll be the center of God's government. And this future kingdom will begin when Christ returns to destroy all evil and to establish his reign on earth. And he's referring here to the millennial reign. So after the tribulation of 7 years of tribulation, then the millennial reign. And so at that time, many nations are going to come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. In other words, what he's saying they won't need their weapons of war anymore because it's a time of peace. They'll be harvesting and stuff. A nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. So here in this passage of scriptures, these verses here, Micah tells us how we should live while we wait for God's kingdom to come in its complete form. He says, by walking in the name of the Lord. And that phrase there, it means that we must live in a way that is worthy of being associated with God. Now, as Christ followers, you and I are to be God's representatives, reflecting his character, reflecting God's character, serving God's purposes, and exercising God's authority over evil. We must go about our daily lives with a strong awareness of God's presence, which will encourage our faith in God and keep us from doing things that are not right. In the process, we will be able to influence others to follow Christ. Now look at verse 6. Verse 6, he says, In that day, declares the Lord, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles, and those I have brought to grief, I will make the lame my remnant, those driven away a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever. As for you, watchtower of the flock, stronghold of daughter Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to daughter Jerusalem. So, in all the first 8 verses of chapter 4, he was talking about a time to come. Now, he did not know when that time would be. Think about this. For all Micah knew what he was prophesying about, for all he knew, it could come right after the destruction of Israel. You know, you had the northern and the southern, you know, and he was prophesying. He prophesied about that too in the previous chapters we talked about. He said that that they would be destroyed. They're going to face judgment. They're going to be gone away, you know. And so for all he knew, the time that he was talking about ruler coming could come. He was, in his mind, he could have been thinking, well, it may come after that. He didn't know. All he knew was that he was prophesying these words so he did not know when that time would be. Now, because of the scriptures that we have, we know that it did not come during Micah's day, and it still hasn't come yet. But in verse 9, Micah changes course, and he begins talking about his present time. Look at verse 9. He says, why do you now cry aloud? Have you no king? Has your ruler perished? That pain seizes you like that of a woman in labor. Writh in agony, daughter Zion, like a woman in labor, for now you must leave the city to camp in the open field. You will go to Babylon. There you will be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you out of the hand of your enemies. But now many nations are gathered against you. They say, let her be defiled. Let our eyes gloat over Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan, that he has gathered them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Rise and thresh, daughter Zion, for I will give you horns of iron, I will give you hooves of bronze, and you will break to pieces many nations. You will devote their ill-gotten gains to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of all the earth. So the prophet switches his focus again from future hope to the present doom that awaits Jerusalem. And he tells the people that they will be taken captive to Babylon. And you know, this is a pretty amazing prediction, since Micah spoke this prophecy 100 years before the Babylonian Empire became the leading world power. And if you look at your history books and scripture, you would see that the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BC. So here he is, he's prophesying this just over 100 years before it happens. I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, we know prophecy is amazing, but I mean, here he is. He's telling the people, you know, Babylon's going to take over. You know, you're doomed. God's had enough. And so here he is. But hope rises again, because Micah foresees Jews one day returning from Babylon. And if you want to know more about that, you can read the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra goes into more detail on their return. So now let's go to Micah chapter 5, verse 1. And it says this, marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Anybody know there who he's talking about? He is talking about Jesus there. He is prophesying about Jesus. He's prophesying about that a godly ruler would come out of Jerusalem who would fulfill God's promises to his people. And this verse refers to Jesus, the Messiah, who is from ancient times. And that right there, this means from eternity, without beginning or end. He says, yet he would be born as a human and live among people. So, you can only imagine. So they've heard these scriptures, right? I mean, and he's not the only one that prophesied about Jesus. We know Isaiah prophesied. I believe that there's some other verses. I'd have to look them up. But so they prophesied about Jesus to come. So you know, when Jesus came, all those people, you know, you hear we read the stories about the wise men. You know, the wise men were looking, right? They kept looking for someone that was coming. And then all these is it Anna that, you know, that had prophesied, and then Simeon, I believe it was, you know, in the temple, they all knew, and you knew there was some joy and some excitement when Jesus came. And so here they were. And so they had been reading the prophecies, they had been reading the scriptures, and now, you know, and this is what Micah was talking about. He was talking about Jesus. We see this prophecy fulfilled in the four Gospels when Jesus came to earth. Now let's look at verse number 3. He says, therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. Now, here, God would abandon Israel, allowing the nation to go its way and suffer the consequences of its action. It would have to survive without the many benefits God had desired for them until the promised one is born. That's what it's saying here. The phrase from verse 3 said, she who is in labor. This right here refers physically to the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, and spiritually to the faithful few in Israel who will be serving God up until that time. Now, all hope for Israel and all the nations, it comes from the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's one thing we have to understand. You have to have all of that for the prophecy to be fulfilled of Jesus Christ being the Messiah. You have to have his birth, you have to have his life, you have to have his death, you have to have his resurrection. Without all of those, it's not, the prophecy isn't fulfilled. The rest, when it says the rest of his brothers, that refers to the northern tribes of Israel, showing that the Messiah would be for all of Israel's 12 tribes. So it's for all of them, not just for one particular group. Now look at verse 4. He says, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. So like Isaiah, Micah here did not distinguish between the first and second comings of Jesus Christ to the earth. Now some of his descriptions may have implications for both arrivals. You know, like when Christ returns to destroy all evil, this follows the tribulation judgments on the earth. Israel will live securely, and Christ will reign over all the earth, all the world. So, look at verse 5 now. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders. So, I love that phrase that Micah uses here. He says, and he will be our peace. I love that. You see, only Jesus the Messiah will bring lasting peace to Israel. And this will occur in its most complete way when he returns to earth to rule for the last 1,000 years at the end of history, what we know as the millennial reign. Yet with his first coming, Christ's birth, he has already brought God's peace to individuals who have accepted his personal sacrifice for their sins, received his forgiveness, and have the assurance of eternal life. What is it Isaiah says? He says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So we know that the Messiah coming is the Prince of Peace. He brought peace, and we can have peace in our lives, peace in our hearts, when we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He says, because they have entrusted their lives to his leadership, talking about us, you and I, true followers of Jesus will not be condemned to receive eternal punishment. Now also notice here in verse 5 that Micah says, when the Assyrians invade our land. Now, Assyria represents all of God's enemies. Yes, we know the Assyrians came and invaded them back then, but it's also representing all God's enemies. The Messiah will one day rescue and free his people from all who oppose them and their worship of God. Now, let's finish chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. He says this, who will rule the land of Assyria with the sword, the land of Nimrod with drawn sword. He will deliver us from the Assyrians when they invade our land and march across our borders. The remnant of Jacob will be in the midst of many peoples like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, which do not wait for anyone or depend on man. The remnant of Jacob will be among the nations in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, which mauls and mangles as it goes, and no one can rescue. Your hand will be lifted up in triumph over your enemies, and all your foes will be destroyed. In that day, declares the Lord, I will destroy your horses from among you and demolish your chariots. I will destroy the cities of your land and tear down all your strongholds. I will destroy your witchcraft, and you will no longer cast spells. I will destroy your idols and your sacred stones from among you. You will no longer bow down to the work of your hands. I will uproot from among you your Asherah poles. When I demolish your cities, I will take vengeance and anger and wrath on the nations that have not obeyed me. What a way to finish it up here. Now, Micah, he's talking about the end of days again. You see, when the Messiah returns to judge the world for its evil, he's going to take away Israel's need and ability to make war. He will also take away from the nation all sin, all witchcraft, all idolatry. All those in Israel who are not loyal to God and his ways, they're going to be destroyed along with the rest of God's enemies. So here's what we can know for sure. Now, the Lord may have brought judgment, but he will also bring peace. Amen? The Lord's promises are sure, even if they appear to be slow. We can rest assured that the broken, the downtrodden, the neglected, they're going to be restored. They'll be fully restored. And of course, Micah tells us that we will have to wait, but waiting's part of our ongoing walk with Jesus. I mean, how many of you like to wait? Anybody like to wait? No, what happens? We go to a store and we have to wait in line. Today I had to go pick up some medicine, and our pharmacy is at the hospital. Because Kelly's work, we have to go to the hospital to get our medicine. And so they have now opened up the hospital to where you can they allow visitors, but you have to wait in a line to go in and visit. And I got up there and I thought, I read, because they had two signs, because they have two entrances, and I thought, oh man, am I going to have to wait in this line to go in? And because all I got to do, I just go pick up medicines. All I got to do, I don't have to go see nobody. And so I didn't have to wait. But that was my first thought, was I don't want to have to wait out here to go pick up medicine, you know. And so we just don't like waiting, do we? I mean, we go if you've ever gone to try to get a car wash at Sam's, there's always lines. They have two car washes, and both of them are always full, and you have to wait. I mean, it's just the way it is. So I always try to find times when I think that there's going to be less of a line than. And another thing that if I've had to go get gas at Sam's, and I see that the car wash is not full, then I try to get my car washed first before I get gas. And so, because we just don't like to wait. And there's truth to that, right? We just don't like to wait. None of us do. But it's in the waiting that God grows us into what he desires for us. Now, God may be using that time to teach us to trust him again. So Micah, in what he was saying, what he was prophesying, he was telling the people, and it goes all the way back to the very first chapter. He says what? He's saying, because of your sin, because of the way that you've been living, God is going to bring judgment upon you, right? And he even told them, he said, the Babylonians are going to come and take you away. That's what's going to happen. He's telling them, the Babylonians are going to come take you away. And he's saying, but there's a hope because there is a coming, he didn't say Messiah, but he said there is a coming holy man or whatever. There's one far holier, you know, than we can even imagine that's going to come and bring peace. And that's what he's talking about. That's what he talked about. And so I want to finish by saying this. One thing that we know for certain about what Micah is saying is he is telling us that God has a plan, right? And that we should put our hope and trust in God. We may not understand everything that God is doing, but ultimately, God has a plan. And God is taking his time preparing us for what he has planned. You know, you and I, we just have to wait. And there is an end game coming. But we just have to wait for it. One thing I thought about today, and I know this is fiction, I know it has absolutely nothing to do with the Bible, but if you saw the Marvel movies, you know, for anybody that's out there, if you've seen any of the Marvel movies, you know, when I first started watching them, I didn't realize that there was a sequence to this, you know, that you had to, you know, it was good to watch them from the order that they were made. It kind of was telling a story. All of them kind of went together along. And so I just started watching them based on the ones that I liked, that I wanted to watch, that, oh, I need to see that one. I hadn't seen that one. Oh, I need to see that one. I hadn't seen that one yet. And I would just watch them kind of out of order and just kind of, you know, so I think it was this past summer or sometime, we had already seen the end game, which was the final one, you know, that kind of brought it all to the completion or whatever. So me and Maylee decided we were going to go back and watch them from Iron Man, the first one, you know, and watch them through. And, you know, it's funny, after you go watch them straight through and you've kind of known what's gone on in the different movies because you've already seen some of them, it's like, wow, this is all making sense now, you know? And you see the sequence of it. It's like there is an end game. And that's the same way if you look at Scripture, if you look at prophecy, if you look at those things of what God's plan is, God has an end game. And the truth is, we just have to wait for it. God, I may not fully understand everything that you're doing. I may not fully understand what you're wanting to accomplish or what you're saying. I may look at the world and see the way things are going and not understand it all. But I know that in my heart, God, you have a plan. And that's where our faith and our trust come in, trusting him and believing that he has our best interest in mind. And even though we may not fully understand it, he has something great for us in the end. And that's something that you and I can look forward to and believe that God is going to help us get there. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I just thank you that we can come here tonight and study your word, study your scriptures and what it says. And God, I pray if there's anybody watching this tonight, God, I pray that you just touch their hearts and minister to them. God, use this word. Maybe they've been waiting for something, waiting for an answer, and they don't fully understand everything. They don't know what's going on. Whatever's happening in their life or their family or whatever's happening, God, I pray that you would just reassure them, let them know that you are there, that you have a plan, and that you're going to help them. You're going to help them through this time. God, we give you praise. We give you glory. And we ask that you would just move in hearts and lives of those that are listening tonight. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I just want to tell you, we have two more weeks in the book of Micah. So next week we're doing chapter 6, and then we'll finish with chapter 7 the last week. So in 3 weeks, we're going to begin an 8-week study on the book of Hebrews, and that study will take us to the end of the year. Can you believe that we only have 10 weeks left in the year? And well, I say that. There's a few more. There's about 12 weeks because there's 2 Wednesday nights that we won't have service. One before Thanksgiving and then the one before Christmas. But we only have, so there's only about 12 weeks left in the year. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of ready to tell 2020 goodbye, you know. It's been kind of crazy, y'all. But anyway, so next week, if you're reading Micah along, if you're reading it next week, chapter 6, then the next week, this 2 weeks, we'll finish it out with chapter 7. And then when we'll start a new series on the book of Hebrews after we are done with this. I just want to let everybody remind everybody, if you have a need that you want us to pray with you about, you can send that prayer need by a text message to 479-888-7331. We will pray for every need that's sent to us tonight. And also, I'll leave some questions in the comment section for you to continue on this study. They're not there right now. There was a mistake made, and so we will fix that. So those questions will be there on Micah chapters 4 and 5. But I want you to have a great night. We'll see you this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. as we continue our series called Ghost Stories. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And this is going to be a good one this week. We're on Acts chapter 2, talking about the day of Pentecost. So y'all have a wonderful week. We'll see you Sunday. All right. Does anybody have any prayer needs? I brought out a tablet. I'm going to